Like Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Tyke. The concert series that composer Yehuda Yanai has produced since 1971 is Milwaukee's oldest contemporary music forum. Music from Almost Yesterday generally champions the work of living composers. Over the years, they say they've showcased almost the entire spectrum of American new music. The Music from Almost Yesterday ensemble is comprised of UWM faculty, advanced students, guests, and others, and they've received widespread recognition for their work. More than 40 years since the series started, Yanai is still a prolific and internationally recognized composer. And this Sunday, the newest Music from Almost Yesterday premieres two new works. The concert will also feature music from the late Bert Levy, a longtime friend of Yanai. Yanai stopped by the Lake Effect studio and tells Bonnie North more about his corner of classical music.
New music, and I'm speaking specifically about, I would say, concert music or classical music or music which is written by composers who are the heirs of a long tradition of writing what we call, perhaps in the United States, as so-called serious music, right, as opposed to popular music, although I think things are blurred at this moment. Things are going one into another and so on and so forth. But new music is simply music that has been created these days. And it's very interesting because many years ago, when I came here and I established this concert series, there was discussion with my young colleagues and students here to call a new series New Music. In fact, if you think about it, once a piece of music has been written down or recorded or conceived in some material way, it's not new anymore. So this is why we came up with this title, Music from Almost Yesterday, which in a certain sense, you could think about it, it has a philosophical aspect of it because you cannot step in the same water twice. It's already done. What I think is very interesting, that we are working in a certain tradition. Nobody invented music, but we are regenerating it, and the best composers reinventing it, and this is our life, and it's a wonderful life, actually.
When we talk about new music in this tradition, you know, of the classical or serious or whatever words we want to attach to that, I think a lot of people shy away from it because they think it's thorny. They think it's difficult. They think it's too intellectual. I mean, you can list a whole number of adjectives that you can attach to that kind of music. But so much of it isn't that. And how do you, as a composer, you know, convince people to take a chance?
It is a question of actually is dipping into it. Once you have that kind of experience, I think that you realize what it is. And you do come to these concerts essentially to listen, and you'll discover a world that you were not acquainted before. And I think there are wonderful performances in my series and other series too of very first-class musicians who play anything. They can play Baroque music to the latest Yanai piece, if you wish. These are the people that I'm working here, by the way, in Milwaukee, but also nationally and internationally. It has its own audience, in a certain sense, all over the world. Now, it may not be necessarily the same audience of some very popular, you know, Broadway show or something like that. It's not really meant really for the majority of the people, but there is a segment of population that is very much interested in hearing something that has some truly intellectual and aesthetic background. But it's all about opening your ears up to listen to the things that usually are only given by, I think, the best of the contemporary composers. And this would be applying in virtually anything that you want. You can pick up bestseller as you go shopping in the supermarket, or you can go to a better bookstore and look at some things and buy something that you actually have to think about it. So it's definitely not really background music. It's something that you have to listen to. But I think you get the same kind of enjoyment as you get it from looking at a beautiful landscape or a first-class play. It is the responsibility, really, of the composers and the performers to convey this and really, in a certain sense, convince the audiences. But the audiences, actually, are pretty large of that. And
it also seems like the audiences are very much a part of that conversation.
Exactly.
That they have to be.
That's right. And people want to be challenged. This is why we have some kind of continuity for these things. And I do not necessarily want to address thousands of people in a stadium, but I would like to address maybe 150 people, especially since we are talking about chamber music and smaller situation. But they walk out with a kind of experience of, first of all, live music, not recorded music, and a visual theatrical aspect that they will not get in some other way. I mean, this is actually kind of keeps us alive and keeps this kind of music alive. And I do not want to say that much of our popular culture has to do with kind of dumbing it down. But the intellectual aspect is really just the business of the composer and perhaps the performer. But it's all about feeling and it's all about expression. It is all about creating the kind of atmosphere that involves everything that you have. Your ears, your mind, mood, your experience, and so on and so forth. So I think there is that, I would say, hidden part of it, which you simply have to experience. You have to be there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and you've been bringing audiences to this since 1970.
That's right.
Here, as these concerts have gone now for 40-plus years, what have you noticed, both in terms of how composers are approaching their music, what have you noticed about that? But what have you also noticed about how audiences are approaching this almost new music?
I think that people who are interested in more in general, more cultural things, I think that they are getting the point. And I think that happens nationally. And I think that it's, yes, there is an aspect of it, of selling these things and so on and so forth. And I am in a particular situation which is different, say, than present music. Present music is completely dedicated into, they have a staff to do it. Publicists, they're doing a very, very fine job. But in the university situation, and with a person like myself, who's primarily considers himself a composer and conductor, but also essentially as a presenter, right? My emphasis is essentially bringing the kind of things here that do not duplicate somebody else's work. Also giving it, a spin that I think is in a certain sense without compromise. What I mean by it is that we have a nice balance between things that I think more immediately accessible and perhaps more obscure. But I think my emphasis is that I have to represent what's happening in this world in contemporary music. I could say also that my inspiration is that I am frequently, either my music or my participation is happens, for example, in Europe. This year I have been for 2 months in Paris as a guest artist in residence, and I'm going right now to Berlin for another 2 months. So the atmosphere that is in these so-called bigger cities, is something that I hope to bring back, because we want, and I think Milwaukee deserves to be, a center of new thinking, a center of innovation, a center where you can do music and concerts that are happening all over.
So, and basically being part of that worldwide phenomenon.
Right. That's right. And it's a worldwide phenomenon, which, of course, existed forever. The historical music, or the idea of music is some kind of a museum, is really started maybe 100 years ago. But in reality, there was a period, and there is a period, in some other cultures, when the music is the music that is created at that time. And it's unfortunate that many, many musical organizations, big ones, including the symphony, are way, way, way behind of what's happening in this world by not really going out and promoting the kind of things that are happening. I think that they become a calcified museum, and it's a pity. It's a question about talking to the audience, explaining what it is, and having a kind of attitude that would make any musical organization or artistic organization a world-class ensemble. Because the level of playing and the level of abilities of today's musicians and the younger ones is incredible. They play everything from A to Z. And people want to be challenged. Performances that I'm putting on and all the people that I work with, they want to be challenged. They don't want to play the same stuff over and over.
Well, speaking of not playing the same stuff over and over, we have just a few more minutes, and I want to get to the actual concert that's
right.
happening.
Yes.
And this is at the Recital Hall, and it's the music of you as well as Bert Levy.
That's right.
So talk about, you know, what we're going to hear at this concert.
That's right. What happened is Bert Levy, who has a history of working in this, like myself, in Wisconsin, in creating work, died about 2 years ago. We have been lifelong friends. The correspondence between the two of us, which is also, we are of the same generation and we went to the same school and worked with the same people and so on and so forth, created this dialogue that went on for many, many years, in which literally when we finished a piece of music, even before we finished a piece of music, we were exchanging opinions and, for that matter, advice between the two of us. So what we are doing is a few years ago, we produced a CD together, which represented his and my music. And essentially what we are doing is we are doing excerpt. I would say most of the music that is on that CD, we are doing it in this particular concert of chamber music that includes a big violin solo piece played by Professor Bernard Zink, a great violinist who teaches at UWM, guitarist who comes from North Carolina, who is Paul Baumann, who is one of the main guitarists of specializing contemporary music and other music, perhaps the best flute player in contemporary music in Chicago, Lisa McGinn, and two new works actually of mine. One is a guitar piece and one is a piece for accordion that I have written for Stas Wenglewski, who is a close friend of mine for whom I have written recently a lot of music.
Oh, that's going to be fun. That's
yeah.
going to be interesting.
And he is just a wonderful performer. We just were in Paris where I premiered the new work with him. It's something that in a certain sense represents very much even historically, if you wish, you know, my work. I have a piece that I have written in memoriam of my own teacher in Israel in 1964. And I would say that it is a kind of a memorial concert, but we live through, or composers and artists live through, the things that they leave behind, which is their music. So therefore, it's all alive and it's all the continuation of our work, hopefully surviving us. Yeah.
Hope so.
Yeah,
hope
we
so.
Hope so.
Yeah.
Right.
You know. Yehuda Yanai, thank you so much for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you.
Yehuda Yanai is a composer, professor emeritus of music at UW-Milwaukee, and founder of the Music from Almost Yesterday Ensemble. The group's concert, Uncommon Voices, the music of Bert Levy and Yehuda Yanai, will take place Sunday afternoon at 3 at the Peck School of the Arts Recital Hall on the UWM campus. You'll find more information at wuwm.com/likeeffect. Finally today, an update on the interview we brought you yesterday in which speed skater Bridie Farrell brought forth allegations of sexual misconduct 15 years ago by then fellow skater Andy Gabel. Gabel has still not responded to a request for comment, but U.S. Speed Skating, the sport's governing body in this country, released a statement that reads, U.S. Speed Skating only became aware of these 15-year-old sexual misconduct allegations today when the story appeared in the media. Our current understanding is that it was not reported to anyone at U.S. Speed Skating or the authorities at that time. We intend to look into this matter immediately to determine what action should be taken. We will not have any further comment on this matter until we have more facts. We will continue to update this story as circumstances warrant. That is the Friday edition of Lake Effect. We're produced, as always, by an extremely capable and professional team, including Dan Harmon, Stephanie Lecce, and Bonnie North, with production help from Eleanor Peterson and Amy Kiley. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Have yourself a terrific weekend, and I sure hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and Sunday afternoon at 3 for Lake Effect Weekend from WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air is next.